Philippians chapter number 4. I want to say tonight, I love the Word of God. I've loved it ever since I've been saved. And when I would get in it, knew very little about it, and the Lord would show me a truth, I'd get so excited about it, I wanted to go tell somebody else. Now, I wasn't wanting to show off what I knew, because really I didn't know much, but I wanted somebody to be excited about it the way that I was excited about it. And I want to say this, I'm still the same way. I want to show people, I want to tell people, I want to teach people what the Lord has taught me, and to try to be a help and a blessing, amen. This is something that the Lord has been dealing with me, has been teaching me, and I'm not a very quick learner. I'm just not the sharpest knife in the drawer, amen. And my wife would say, amen. But he's trying, amen. And this has helped me. And I really believe that when the Lord shows me and helps me and gives me something, there might just be somebody else that needs the same thing. And that's kind of the way the Lord's always worked as far as preaching goes with me. And so I want to share this with you tonight. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, for who you are. Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day. We thank you, Lord, that you're full of grace. And Lord, that you've brought us to this place by grace. And Lord, wherever we're going to go, Lord, you're going to lead us there by grace. And Lord, we come to you tonight. And Father, we're just going to ask you, Lord, for help. Lord, you know where we need it. You know how we need it. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd provide it. Lord, I pray, God, that if there's somebody here tonight and they've never been saved, Lord, I pray, God, that you would, Lord, please, God, do that work that only you can do. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's under a load, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd give them something, Lord, to help them. And Lord, I sure need you to help me to preach tonight, Lord. I need you as much tonight, Lord, as I ever needed you before. Lord, I pray, God, that you would use me and get glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This epistle that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi is often referred to as the epistle of joy. The word joy and rejoicing is used over and over and over in this epistle. And Paul had a desire for this church, that they would be a first-class church, that they would be the Christians that God had saved them to be. Now, we think about being that first-class church. A first-class church is not just when Christ is present in your life. It's not just when Christ is prominent in your life, but it's where Christ has the preeminence in your life. And that's where the Lord wants us to put Him and to have Him. And so in chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul starts dealing with the subject of peace. Now, it's one thing to not have joy and to rejoice, but it's a whole other thing not to have peace. And not to have peace is the most miserable of places. Not to have peace is a place where we can't function and do and serve and be for others who the Lord wants us to be and has saved us to be. And so when we think about this, there's another word that's emphasized in this epistle, and it's the word mind. And this word mind is used 12 times. And I want to submit to you tonight that the mind is a very, very important place. The mind is where decisions are made. Good decisions and bad decisions. Decisions to stop and decisions to go. Decisions to quit and decisions to continue. It's a very, very important place. And let me say this, the mind is the place where conflicts take place. Spiritual conflicts. It's where those conflicts is a place where the war is won. It's a place where the war is lost. And if a person doesn't have their right mind, doesn't have peace, listen to me, friend, you don't have anything. You don't realize how important your mind is and how important peace is until you don't have it. And if you ever get it back, you don't ever want to lose it again. It's precious. It's a gift. It's something that God gives us, and it can come and it can go as quick as it comes. And so Paul starts dealing with this and starts teaching about this. And I want to give you a couple things just by way of introduction, why the mind is so precious. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." What is in our mind has so much to do with who we are. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 6, "For the people had a mind to work." This is where the decision is made whether or not we're going to go forth and go out by faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21 and 22, that Jeremiah said this, "This recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not." Friend, if you have hope tonight, you have a good thing. And that hope is at rest in a place that's our mind, and this is a place that we have peace. But let me say this to you, it's a place that's pursued. It's a battleground. And the armies of the flesh and of the world and of the devil battle there. They try to gain ground there. They battle against the Lord and the Spirit and those things that are good and pure and right. And there is a battle there that takes place. And if there's one thing the enemy wants to take, it's your peace. He wants to rob you of it. He doesn't want you to have your right mind. He doesn't want you to have that strength. He doesn't want you to have that clarity. He wants to take that from you because when he can take that from you, he can manipulate you in the way that he wants to. But I want to point out to you in chapter number 4, there's some special elements the Lord points out. There's some elements that accompany and that are associated with peace. There's four things I want to give to you tonight. If you've got peace tonight, you need to thank God for it. And these four things can help you to hold on to it. And if you don't have peace tonight, there's hope. And these four things, if you will obey the Lord and let them, will help you to gain that peace back. Do you want that peace tonight? And by the way, we know people. We might have peace tonight, but we know people that don't have peace. We're living in a world where peace is less and less and less. We're living in a world tonight where kids that are in elementary school want to die. They want to take their own life. They don't want to live anymore because they don't have any hope. They don't have any peace. Something's wrong. There's some things that are happening today that are different that happened in the past. When I went to school, I know one boy in middle school that had got very intoxicated and he shot himself in the head, but he didn't necessarily want to die. That wasn't a common thing when I grew up. But friend, it's all too common now. And I believe when we look in God's Word, we'll see and find some reasons why that is. Number one, we can have peace through praise. The Bible says in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now let me stop right there for a second and tell you what the Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say rehearse. It doesn't say rehearse and go over and over and over again those things that aren't right in our lives. Isn't it amazing how we can go through the course of a day and 10 wonderful things can happen. 10 blessed things can happen in our lives and we can see the hand of God. But one or two bad things happen and for whatever reason we'll latch down on those things and miss out on the good things. And if we're not careful, after those things happen, we can talk about it and then talk about it some more and then tell somebody else. And we'll find out the more that we rehearse those things and the more we talk about those things, the more that our peace starts departing from us. That's just the way it is. I remember when I was pastoring up in West Virginia, it was wintertime, and wintertime up there was long. The sun didn't come up until about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and it was going down over the hill about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I remember being in that parsonage, and I was getting stir crazy. And so there was a thing that I did that was afforded to me that would help me get a little bit of relief, and that was to go shoot my guns at the gun club. And so I got all my guns together one afternoon. It was snowing, it was cold, but I didn't care. I just wanted to get out of there. I wanted to get back out in the middle of nowhere and just fire off some rounds just for a little bit. And I got out of my car and I got my guns and I walked up. I didn't go out to the 400 yard range, but I went to a place that was a little bit closer that had a big backdrop. I'd shot there before with my rifles. Nobody was out there. I'm talking about it was in the 30s. It was blowing snow. But I was happy. I was content. And about that time, after I'd got everything out, I'd lugged about 4 or 5 rifles and some ammo up there. There was a guy that pulled up I went to church with. And he got out of the car. He was the president of the gun club. And he walked up there and we started chit-chatting and he started looking. He said, I noticed you got your rifles out here. I'm like, yeah. I'm just going to sight some stuff in and shoot a little bit. And he said, well, you know, you don't really need to shoot your rifle up here. And I said, there's just a big wall of dirt back there and there's nobody else here. And he said, well, you don't want to give people the idea that it's okay. And I looked around and I was thinking, who's going to get the wrong idea? But he just didn't let it go, and I was like, all right. I was thinking, Lord, I came up here to try to get some peace, and I just lost my peace. And I got back, and I took all the stuff back to the car,
and I put it in, and I was going to go to the other part of the range, and I knew that that was going to chew on me. And so I prayed. I said, Lord, please take that away from me. Lord, please help that not to just sit on me and let it gnaw at me. But you know what I did? I went through the gate, and I got in the car, and I was driving over there, and I started chit-chatting with myself. I can't believe he did that. Well, I mean, I was trying to do something good, Lord. I wasn't trying to do anything bad. I can't believe, did he not have anything better to do? And it was just like the Lord said this, if you'll quit talking about it, I'll help you. But you're going to have to shut up and let it go before you can get some peace. That's the way it works. And the Bible says that we're not to rehearse, but we're to rejoice. You say, well, Brother Chris, I just can't find something to rejoice in. That's why the Bible says that we are to rejoice in the Lord. Always. That means we can rejoice in the Lord from the past. Over in chapter 1 and verse number 6, the Bible says that we can be confident of this thing. The Bible says of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. If you're saved tonight, you know you can go back to that time and place where that good work began. And you can rejoice in it. And the thing that God had started to do, we can rejoice in the present. The Bible says we can be confident. The Bible says in Romans 8:28 that we know that all things work together for good. We don't understand it. We can't figure it out. But we know this, our God is good and that he's doing a good work and that he has a purpose. And we know that we can rejoice in the future because the Bible says there in verse number 6, in you will he perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when things happen, when pressure comes, when pain comes, I can get a certain amount of peace by knowing I don't understand what's going on. But as long as God has a purpose in it, that helps me to go a little bit further. Let me hurry here. Number two, we can find peace through patience. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. This says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. For a long time, I thought that word moderation meant that we weren't supposed to do things in excess in front of people. Like we shouldn't eat too much, or we shouldn't say too much, or whatever it might be. But that's not what that word means. That word actually means patience. That word means gentleness. That word means forbearance. So the message that Paul is trying to get across here is that the Christian that desires peace should give way to others. What the Bible's saying there is that we need not to put ourselves in a certain place and we're to step back and let others go before us. To let others have their way to a certain extent. Now that doesn't mean that we should let people run all over us. That doesn't mean that we should let people try to push us and prod us out of the will of God or to put our family in any unnecessary danger. But what that's saying is that we're to put ourselves in the back of the line and put others in the front of the line. And let them have their way. Now, that's not always easy. Rhiannon and I used to have this ongoing joke. We read this somewhere about how God puts sandpaper people in your path. Have you ever met any sandpaper person? You say, Brother Chris, what's that? Those are the people that God puts in your path to rub off your rough edges. Those are the ones that when you're going, you're like, oh no, here comes so-and-so. Hey, don't act super spiritual. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And let me say this. It was a good day in my life that I realized that I was somebody's sandpaper person. I think I'm his right down there on the front row. I believe a lot, amen. But you know what? We've got to understand that it's not all about us. And when we step back And we put others' needs before us and their desires, then we get a certain amount of peace. That's just the way it happens. I think about when I was starting out in the ministry and how I'd always have a battle with my family, my sister, my dad, and how I would always try to help them and to try to point them towards the Lord, and we would get in all end up getting in a fight, and honestly, I felt like that I didn't say anything wrong, and that I didn't really have to give an apology. But you know what? When I would go to pray, it was just like the Holy Spirit said, it's not going to happen until you call them. And I said, Lord, how many times do I have to call them? How many times do I have to be the bigger person? Lord said, it don't matter. You just keep calling. You just keep being the bigger person. And you know what? When I'd pick that phone up, I'd get peace. I'd get peace. That's what the Lord is trying to show us here. And flip over to chapter number 2. He gives us the manner. He shows us exactly the way that it's supposed to be. Chapter number 2, verse number 4. The Bible says here, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, when we put ourselves in the wrong place, then what happens so many times is somebody will say something to us and they'll say it in a certain way, and this will be our attitude. Well, I didn't deserve that. And who do they think they are talking to me like that? You know who we are? Nothing. Nothing. And somebody will do something and we'll say, why in the world did they do that? I didn't need that in my life. No, I probably didn't, but that's what happened. And we can go over that and over that and over that and think that back and forth. But listen, if we'll humble ourselves sometimes and just take a step back and say, you know what, Lord? The only thing I deserve is to die and go to hell forever. Then we'll get a certain amount of peace. There's times when I'm working, and I believe so strongly, because there were times when I was pastor and things would happen, and I would think, you know what? Why are they treating the pastor this way? Why do they talk to the pastor this way? And you know what? There'll be times now that I'm working at the YMCA, and I'm down on the floor on my hands and knees, and I'm cleaning up somebody's mess, that they've made on the floor, and the Lord just shows me, look, you're a servant. That's who I've saved you to be. You're not somebody, you're a servant. And if we can get a hold of that, folks, then we'll get a certain amount of peace. Let me hurry here. Number 3, we get peace through prayer. Now, I said this in the prayer room this morning. It's wise to be concerned and have a concern about things in our life. But it's not wise, and it turns into sin when that concern takes over us and it has us. And that happens so many times. And our problem is that we really don't intentionally do this, but unintentionally we'll step out of our lane and we'll assume a position that's a lot higher than our pay grade. It's way above our pay grade. Because we'll try to step in to the position of the Lord and we'll try to fix things in the future before they ever come. And we want to wrestle with issues
before there are ever issues. Somebody say amen right there. You know what I'm talking about. And we want to carry a load that was never meant for us to carry. We weren't built for that. That load was too heavy. That was not God's will. And we wonder why we don't have peace. And we wonder why we get so weary. And we get so anxious. And we get so discouraged. Because we're doing something that we were never intended to do. And the Bible says because of that we'll be anxious. See, Peter had a hold of this. The Lord told him, Peter, He said, after you've been sifted like wheat, after you're converted, you'll strengthen the brethren. And over there in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 7, He said this, casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But you know what He said right after that? He said, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, we've talked about heaven today. And there's so many things that I'm excited about heaven. At the top of the list, I can't wait to see Jesus. I'm going to be so glad when I don't have to deal with this flesh and sin. But right up there at the top of the list, I'm never going to have to listen to the devil ever again. He's going to be cast in the lake of fire forever. And I want to tell you, I'm just a little bit happy about that tonight. Because this is what he does. You see that right there? Why aren't you taking care of that? That's your responsibility. You need to do that. What are people going to think if you're laying back and you're not doing this and taking care of this? You're not being responsible. Well, I'm not sure about that. And I'm kind of confused about it. And on and on and on until we go there and we pick that thing up and we start carrying it, and then we get weak, and then we get weary, and then here he comes again. You're a fool. You're so stupid. You do this over and over and over and over again. See, don't fight fair. He looks for the weak ones. He looks for the weary ones. He wants to put that anxiety and take away that peace. But the Bible says that we can get it back through prayer. Dr. Lee Robertson said this, the time that we should pray is when it's hardest to pray. Brother Curtis Hudson said this, prayer is like driving a nail. Sometimes the wood's soft and you can get it in one swing, but sometimes it's harder and it takes more than a couple of times. And I want to say that that's the truth. But listen, the Bible says that there's a peace that we cannot understand, that we don't understand what it is. We can't get a hold of how great it is. And it comes through prayer. And listen, it might not be your prayer, but it might be somebody praying for you. Right before I got sick with cancer, I might have shared this with you, to a part of it. I was over at the prison, and I was over in the annex, and there was a inmate that he was the barber over there, and he was a Christian. And he came up to me, and he handed me a little white sheet of paper, and he said, God told me to give this to you. And he handed it to me. And I said, thank you. And I put it in my Bible, and I didn't think about it for about 2 or 3 weeks until I was laying on my bed with cancer, just ready to die and to give up. And one night, the Holy Spirit nudged me and said, get in your Bible and pray. And I opened up that piece of paper, and I want you to listen to what the Lord gave me. Psalm 103 verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgiveth thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. And I said, Lord, could it be true? Would you do that for me? And I grabbed that promise.
Now, there was a day that morning that I woke up and I wasn't feeling as spiritual. And I remembered listening to a preacher, and he made this comment. He said, my kid said, if there was one preacher that they needed to pray for them, it would be Brother Sammy Allen. Now, the only thing I knew about Brother Sammy Allen was I was scared of him. I went to a camp meeting before God called me to preach, and it reminded me of Peter and the beggar. Brother Sammy locked eyes on me, and I tried not to look at him, and he said, come up here, son. And he pulled me up there, and he tried to get me to quote a verse, which I did not know when all the other pastors were looking at me like, bless his dear heart. But you know what? I called Brother Sammy. And I didn't get him at the church, and I called out at the camp, and he answered the phone. And he said, I don't usually do this. He said, I was praying. He said, I don't usually get up and answer the phone. He said, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to. And I told him who I was, and I told him what I was going through. And I said, Brother Sammy, would you pray for me? You know what he prayed? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And you know what? I got a peace that passes all understanding. That's what God will do for you if you'll just get up and pray and press on. I've got to hurry. I'm just about out of time. Let me give you the fourth thing. There's peace through purity. There's these things that I've shown you. Those things that are prior. They promote peace. But this thing protects peace. Now I want to illustrate this. There's a man that lives in a house, and he has a prized possession. It's so precious to him, but he's very careless with it. He doesn't hide it and lock it and keep it away. He just sets it out in the middle of his house. And this man doesn't latch the windows, and he doesn't lock the doors. And the fact of the matter is, he lives in an awful neighborhood where there's thieves and there's robbers all over the place. And so one night he goes to sleep, and he wakes up the next morning, and he goes and he looks and he finds that his precious possession was not there. And he got concerned about it. And he set out to look for it. And he searched diligently and worked at it until he found it and he got a hold of it and he brought it back home. But then he just set it back out where it was before and failed to latch the windows and lock the door. Brother Chris, what are you saying? That's what we do with peace. It's precious. But you know what? We don't protect it like we should. And the enemy comes in. And he takes it because we don't guard it and we don't protect it. And the Bible says here that there's peace through purity. What is that purity? The Bible says that this is the Word of God. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, the Word of truth. This is how that we have protection. Now listen to me. The Bible never says that we're supposed to fight evil. The Bible says that the battle is the Lord's. The Bible says that we're to put on what? The armor of who? Of God. We're to take up the shield of faith. Where does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And we're to take up the sword of the who? Of the Spirit. Those are God's weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. But our job is to cultivate those good things. And that happens when we guard what comes in and what comes out of our lives. I think a big reason why there's so many young people that stay anxious, that go get locked up in the mental institution, that carry things and know about things that no child should ever know about, is because of these things right here.
I remember Brother Sammy Allen said this. He was talking about the internet, and he was kind of making a joke. He said, but that's what the devil wants you to do, is get in her net. And the Bible calls it the World Wide Web, because once you get in there and you get stuck, you're trapped and you're in trouble. And I want you to think about this. Let's just not think about our peace as adults, but let's think about the peace of our children. Let me give you this, and I'm finished. Before I went to West Virginia, one night I was laying on my couch and I was listening to a guy give a testimony. He was a producer of a record company in Hollywood. It was called Zodiac Records. And this man had gotten saved. But he was speaking to a church, and he was telling them that when a band would come in and they would make a record, they would perform it, and it would be recorded on those reels. After it was recorded, they would take those reels and put them in a special room that had a big pentagram on the floor. And they would lay those tracks, those recordings, down there on the floor, and they would get witches and they would get sorcerers to come in and summon demons, thousands and hundreds of them. So when that music went out, it would go into people's homes, it would go into their minds, and it would rob them of their peace. Think about that. What have we been listening to? Is it purifying us, or is it pulling us down? Would you bow your heads with me? I wonder tonight if there's somebody here. And don't be so much honest with me, but just be honest with the Lord. Say, Brother Chris, I've never had peace, that peace. I've had peace that comes from the world, but I've not had this peace of God. I've never been born again. I hear people talk about it, but I don't know anything about it. I wonder if that's you tonight. Look, listen, I'm not going to come to you. I won't do that. But if that's you here tonight, would you just slip your hand up and down? You can do it quickly so I can pray intelligently for you. Would you let me pray for you? I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that said, pray for me, Brother Chris. Pray for me. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I need to be saved. Would you let me pray for you? Would you let me pray for you? I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that says, Brother Chris, pray for me. I don't have peace. I just don't have it. I need it. I wonder if that's you tonight. Would you slip up your hand? Pray for me. I see that hand. I wonder if there's somebody else. Brother Chris, pray for me. I need that peace. Let me ask you this before I pray. I wonder why you're sitting here tonight if God has put somebody on your heart and you know that they're absolutely underneath it and they need peace. They just need that breath from heaven to come down. Say, Brother Chris, I've got somebody on my heart. Would you slip your hand up? Hands everywhere. Why don't we pray tonight? Why don't we pray for peace? Peace in our family. Peace at our work. Peace in our church. Peace in our lives. Peace for others. Sister Laura, would you come to the piano?